أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا Regarding the topic which we had started on guidance, this hadith was mentioned from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. That an-naqis mal'oon, and it was mentioned that naqis means someone who is imperfect, incomplete, and it is the opposite of kamil, which means that someone who is imperfect is deprived from the special grace and mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now this is to the youth in particular who've been given with this beautiful age, which is to study, to learn, to work, to worship, to become better humans, better mu'mineen. It is as we train ourselves in this age, it's going to remain with us for the duration of our time. If we invest it correctly, it's going to be beneficial for us. Now, the thing which was mentioned last year again, there were some questions again on this in this regard. It's regarding surfing on the internet. It's this Facebook that has come up, which is the bala of this age, which is the disaster, as to whether or not we should be having an account over there or not. All this was discussed. Now we won't be talking about it, that should we or should we not. There were many on the Facebook last year who are not on it now. You can speak to them. Have they lost anything or have they not? So over here the Prophet says that an-naqis mal'oon, someone who is incomplete is mal'oon. So all that time we will be spending on things that are not right or things that are of no use, compare it to something beneficial, so that's going to be of benefit. If we invest it in learning, in studying, in reading, if nothing at all, just go to bed, sleep. That's better than everything. It's better than having, we've heard these red eye flights that fly during the night, and during the day the passengers, they've got these red eyes. So we've got these red eye students that all night surfing, all night chatting, and then during the day it's all these red eyes. And those red eyes also cannot be corrected with Tylenol, with Panadols, with all these medicines. It's just a night's sleep. When it comes to the rest during the night, Quran says, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا. Allah has made the night to rest. No matter how much you sleep during the day, that can never be the sleep of the night, and that will never make you fresh. It's like charging your iPads with a USB connection through your laptops. It's going to take hours and hours for it to get charged, and it will not get fully charged also at the end. Plug it into the mains, it's going to be fast. You'll get that charge. The same thing is with the sleep of the night, which Allah has made as the best solution for your rest, that sleep during the night and work during the day. Salawat. So, Prophet says, an-naqis mal'oon, that someone who doesn't perfect himself, complete himself, he is deprived from that special share of mercy. Among the personalities we can talk a little bit about, it's Marhum Karbalai Kazim. A person illiterate, doesn't know to read nor write. All of a sudden he is blessed and he becomes a hafiz of Quran. Now this is being quoted by many of the ulama, and there was an interview with Ayatollah al-Uzma Makarim Shirazi. He has also mentioned it, and you may find a clip of it on YouTube. But to me, Ayatollah Bujnoordi, he himself, he saw this person, he has quoted, says that this person, he dies about 30 years ago, an illiterate person who is blessed and becomes a hafiz of Quran. And when people, they used to come and test, he could read any verse of Quran from anywhere, backwards, forwards, reverse, whatever, whichever verse he could read. And the students, to test him as to whether he is, he can or he can't, they used to put books of ahadith in front of him for him to read, and saying that this is Quran. He says it's not. Only those verses, words of Quran, which were Quran, he could just pick and say, this is Quran, that is Quran, this is not. And when asked that how is that, he says, the ayat of Quran, they glow in front of him from that book, as a result of which he can read them. And when asked that how come he was blessed with this karamat, with this grace from Allah Jalla wa'ala, an ordinary person, a builder, a mason, says that I was working for one of these, in one of these farms. Job was to clear the sand, the pile of clear the lands. There he says that I found out that my boss, he doesn't pay zakat. I told him once that pay your zakat. He didn't listen to me. Second time again, after a few days, when he found out that he is not paying his zakat, he reminded him once again. He did not pay. The third time he says that I cannot work with you, because I have to take this money home, feed my wife and children, and if it is haram, I cannot give it to them. So pay your zakat, if not I quit. Says that as a result of that one halal which he was observing, he did not want that haram to get into his belly, into the belly of his children, his wife, that karamat was blessed to him. That how a halal, something which is simple, if observed, all those graces and blessings are given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Prophet says, Al-Kasibu Habibullah. Kasib means someone who earns a living by merchandise, by a business, that is Kasib. Here Rasulullah says, someone who earns a living as such, he is Habibullah. Doesn't say Kalimullah, doesn't say Khalilullah, doesn't say Safiyullah or Safwatullah. Says Habibullah. Why Habibullah? Habibullah means the beloved of Allah. The title given to the most beloved Prophet, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now this title, when given as kasib to an individual, says someone who invests his life in something material, doesn't matter if it's a shop, it's a grocery shop, or whatever business you have. Says if you invest and from there you have your halal earnings, that person will be tagged as Habibullah. Or may that merchandise be related to the hereafter, to Akhirah. Now what is this merchandise related to Akhirah? It is knowing these usul, oneness of God, belief in prophethood, belief in the hereafter. And then the do's and the don'ts, the actions that we have to perform. All that, it's that merchandise that I am investing my life in this cause, in this way, to get my reward in the hereafter, the produce in the hereafter. That is another investment. For that again, says Habibullah, that someone who invests in that way to earn in the hereafter, that too, a person will be Habibullah. Quran says, now what is this investment and how can we invest in this dunya? says, زُيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْتَرَةِ, that Allah has made, has adorned, زُيَّنَ has beautified, has adorned for man, that is, desires of women, sons, treasures, gold, silver. Now all these are blessings from Allah. So we can invest this way. When Rasulullah was inquired as to what do you like from this world, in reply he says that from this world of yours I like three things: good fragrance, women, and qurratu ayni fi salat, that is, the joy of delight of my eyes, it's salat. Or it says in this ayah, wal baneen, that Allah has adorned for you, has beautified for you, baneen, children. Children are one of the greatest and the most wonderful blessings of Allah that He gives to us. So a person loves, enjoys looking at children, playing with children, looking after them, caretaking. They keep you busy. And when they are young, they are constantly thinking, the parents, they are constantly thinking about their children. What should they be doing now? Are they feeling well? Are they not? What should they be eating? Do they need to be changed? So on and so forth. That constantly the mind of an individual, the parents, the caretakers, it's busy because of the child. That nature of the child, it's such beautiful that they constantly are so protective and are thinking about it. And at times, children, they become tough, difficult. There is an age, under 7, they are very naughty, they need to be controlled, and sometimes we cannot control. The teaching is that until the age of 7, he is the boss, you are the slave. After 7, he is the slave, you are the boss. And after 14, he becomes your advisor. Such beautiful description of how we should be handling and tackling children. And it is one of these tips to success that was mentioned repeatedly, that we have to start from these low levels when it comes to educating children, or even when it comes to centers. For example, you may find that children, they may become naughty, nasty at times. But it shouldn't be as such that, especially for those organizers of centers and for the audience who visit, to take extra care in this regard when it comes to children. Extra care, handle with care. No matter what the circumstances are, they shouldn't be hushed. They shouldn't be shooed. The same thing applies to the elders. Because we don't know that many a times, by shunning them, by hushing them, by shooing them, if they get upset and they don't come back to the center, and things that are to be taught, they are deprived from learning it, the sin of that will be written in our account. And if, God forbid, they turn away from the center, they don't come again, no matter how much wrong they do, by being deprived of that learning, it's going to be written in our performance. So it's very delicate. When it comes to a place of worship, when it comes to learning, education, the doors have to be open for all. Now I'll just give you an example of how this thing works. Last year it was the 9th of Muharram in London. And the majlis that was being held, large amount of mu'mineen, about 2,000 crowd. Now, they give tabarruk, which is the food, which is a takeaway container. And sometimes when they see this large number of people, those who are giving away the food, they are very cautious. If they give too much away, it's going to be a shortfall for the others present in there. But sometimes you have to be generous. If someone takes 2, doesn't matter. If someone takes 3, doesn't matter. Out of those 2,000 people, it must just be just a few, 5, 6, or even 10. Customer services that you have over here, it's not for all. It's just for that 1%, 2%. So if someone takes anything extra, doesn't matter. An old lady, a very good lady, she passed away last year, rahmatullahi alayha. She was standing by the table And old ladies, you know, they like to take extra. If she deserves one, she'll take two. Although she won't eat, she'll just eat a few spoons of it. She wants to give it to her daughter, to her son, to her grandchildren, to her neighbor. Now, that's what happens. And that's why you see old ladies, if you get some chance, just look at the handbag which they carry, what they have in there. It's all these different types of goodies that are present in there. And these goodies are not for herself to give away to each other. She took two. Now the person who was giving away that food, he took it back. She took it back in a very bad way. Now this old lady, she just stared at her, and the food which she got, she just put it by the door of that Hosseinia and she walked out. The next day, action replay. Exactly what happened yesterday, the same people who are giving away the food, that same lady over there, and the witnesses who were there yesterday, they see that she is standing, that old lady, she doesn't take the food. Now all those who have taken the food, they open and see it's rotten. 2,000 pieces of food, containers, all rotten. Now how did that all rot? In Christmas in London, temperature is 10 Celsius, cold, it shouldn't rot. When the temperatures are extreme and the food is left outside in heat, in hot sun, for 4-5 hours you will see it become, the rice become so sticky. Never indoors. And even if it was to rot, why all of it? It was cooked in 10 different huge big pots. One pot, two pots, if it goes rotten, it's understood. How come all of that? Breaking the heart of someone sometimes has those dread effects. So a majlis that is hosted, because we don't know which person is what, whose heart is broken, whether that is a young person or whether that is an old person, we have to be very careful of our performance, that never to do, never to hurt anyone, especially when it comes to a majlis which is hosted for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. So over here, Rasulullah, he says that from your world, I like three things. We'll explore this, inshallah, tomorrow, a little bit more. It says, first of all, it's fragrance. Rasulullah, he spent good amount of money for his fragrance. He looked good, he dressed well, he wore good fragrance. And fragrance, perfumes, it's all halal. There's nothing to worry in it. No shak, no doubt. If you are certain that it is najis, don't use it. But it's not najis, it's all fine. Says that, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ ثَلَاث. I like three things from your dunya. Says, النِّسَى, the women, وَالطِّيب, good fragrance, وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنِي الصَّلَاةِ, and the delight, the joy of my eyes, it is salat. When it comes to fragrance, we have a personality, Uwais Qarani, you must have heard his name. Someone who loved the Prophet so much, never saw the Prophet, had faith in the Prophet, living in Yemen, the Prophet is in Medina, in Mecca, but he loves him so much that all of a sudden he fell ill, nothing was wrong with him. And when they analyzed, they found out Rasulullah in Medina, he had temperature, he had fever. As a result of which, Uwais Qarani in Yemen, he was shivering of fever. And all of a sudden, Uwais, who is in Yemen, without anything happening, his tooth broke. And historians, they say that when we analyzed it, it was exactly the same day, the same time, when Rasulullah's tooth broke in one of those battles. That was that immense love which Uwais had towards Rasulullah. Rasulullah says, تَفُوهُ رَوَائِحُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قِبَلِ قَرَنِ. That is, I smell the fragrance of paradise from where? From Qaran, from Yemen. Someone said that, Ya Rasulullah, do you have a Kaaba in Yemen, that the fragrance of Kaaba that you smell from all this distance? Kaaba is in Mecca. He says, no, I smell the fragrance of Uwais, this humble, this noble lover of Rasulullah, who has that immense love towards him, from Qaran, from Yemen. And then to Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Prophet says that, Ya Ali, I will never see Uwais until I die, but you will see him. And says that, convey my salam to him when you see him, and tell him that in the hereafter, the Almighty will grant him the authority of Shafa'at to mediate as he wishes, as he pleases, for the tribes of Rabi'a and Mudhar in Yemen. Says that whole soul authority will be given to him because of that excessive love which he has for Rasulullah, excessive obedience which he has for Rasulullah, and that he will be martyred in the battle of Siffin. The other two things, inshallah, we will discuss them tomorrow. Salawat. In one of the quotes that we have from Abu Abdullah and Hussein, a person, he comes to Abu Abdullah and says that, Yabna Rasulullah, Ana rajulun asin, I am a sinner. A lot of sins I have committed. And says, Wala asbiru ala al-ma'asiyah, and when it comes to sinning, I can't be patient, I have to sin. Fa'izni bi maw'izatin, advise me, what shall I do? Imam says, observe five things and then sin as much as you can, as you wish, as you please. Says, if'al khamsata ashiya waznib ma shi'. Fa'awwalu dhalik, the first one. La ta'kul rizqallah waznib ma shi'. Says, from all this sustenance, the food and drinks that Allah has given to you, don't eat anything and sin as you wish, as you want, as much as you want. And then says, ukhruj min wilayatillah waznib ma shi'. That from this rule of Allah, if you can get out of that rule, find a place where Allah does not rule, and there you can commit your sins. وَالثَّالِثْ أُطْلُبْ مَوْضَعًا لَا يَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. Find a place where Allah does not see you, and you can sin as much as you want. وَالرَّابِعْ إِذَا جَاءَ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ لِيَقْبِذَ رُوحَكَ فَادْفَعْهُ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ. Says that when Malakul Maut, the angel of death, comes to you to seize your soul, leave him. And then go and sin as much as you can. Wal khamis, idha adkhalat kal malik finnar, fala tadkhul finnar. When the caretaker of Jahannam, the hell, wants to make you enter the hell, don't enter. And sin as much as you can. How beautifully Abu Abdullah explains to him five tips. If you can observe them, find a place where Allah doesn't see you. Do not consume from the sustenance and rizq of Allah. And the other three tips, and sin as much as you can. That is to say that, where do you want to go to? Where do you want to flee to? Everything belongs to Allah. It is His rule. It is His kingdom. And no one can find any outlet, any way to flee from him. So this person, he has approached the Imam for help. Says, I don't want to be bad, I want to be good. Just tell me, what shall I do? Imam, he is all mercy. Ma'asumeen, all of them are like that. No matter who comes to them, no matter with what wish, with what desire, with what problem, they just love to help, love to ease. If you get some time, recite this, Ziyarat Jami'at al-Kabira, Aadatukum al-Ihsan. Among the qualities which Ma'asumeen possess, it's that Aadatukum al-Ihsan, it's good which they love to do all the time. It's their habit to do good. So we too have come to this household of wahi to get help. But there is a lot of wrong in us. We have all sat here to mourn about Abdullah al-Hussein. And in one of these riwayat that we have, we find that when we cry for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, Abu Abdullah looks at us, each one of us. Now these riwayat are certified from Quran. Says that he looks at each one of us, and then he looks at his grandfather, the Prophet, looks at his father, looks at his brother, looks at his mother. Now what do those looks mean? Says, have special regard towards them. That is, accept their prayers, whatsoever du'as they may be having, accept them. That is that tawajjuh which ma'sumeen have towards someone, especially who has come to observe this azar of Abu Abdullah. Our sixth imam says that Abu Abdullah raises his head and says, good God, these names that I am listing, forgive them. That is, when in a majlis he requests, they see there is a manifest, a database of the names of mu'mineen for which they pray, for whom they pray. So it's beautiful, our names being uttered and being mentioned in the mouths, pure mouths of ma'sumeen alayhimus salam. And this again, it's a great grace, that is, especially for mu'mineen. When it comes to salawat, God, in this entire creation of his, he has special regard to sometimes some places, sometimes human beings. For places, for example, for Kaaba, for Masjid al-Haram, he has a special regard. He says that if you go to Mecca, if you go to Masjid al-Haram, and you don't feel like doing a tawaf, you don't feel like performing prayers over there, Allah says, don't do anything, just sit and look at my house, my Kaaba. Says, just because of that sight of yours, that look of yours, one glance of yours to my house, 100,000 hasanats will be given to you just for that one glance. 100,000 sins of yours will be waived just for that one glance. So he has a special regard to that place. Sometimes time plays an important part in this regard. For example, Laylatul Qadr says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr, better than 1,000 months. That is, all year round we work. The month of Ramadan comes, we have to fast for the entire 1 month, all of it just to observe that Laylatul Qadr, to witness that Laylatul Qadr, so that we get an uplift, an upgrade instantly. Says that if you were not lucky enough to witness that Laylatul Qadr, the day of Eid, if that wasn't possible for you, then again there is another day, and that is the day of Arafah. For the day of Arafah, again Allah, he has special grace. The entire, all of the ahkam that we have, the manasik that we have for Hajj, all of that one side, Hajj is witnessing Arafat. That is, being present in Arafat from that time of Zuhr until time of Maghrib, just be there, that is Hajj. Hadith says that if you were present in Arafat, Allah says that I will forgive everyone who is there, who is present there. Hadith says that someone who has that faintest doubt that will I be forgiven in Arafat, Ma'asum says he has committed another sin. That is, Allah has guaranteed that person that he will be forgiven in Arafat. So if someone doubts that, that is another sin. So places also have that beautiful value. Time has that beautiful value. Kaaba is as such. And the same thing is with some other spots like Karbala. Says, many in riwayat we find that people, they used to come to Ma'sumeen and say that we have come to a dead end. We can find no way out. What do we do? Imam in reply says, there is no dead end. Outlet to every dead end is Hussein, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. No matter what problems, we mentioned yesterday, no matter what illnesses, no matter what diseases, no matter whatever afflictions we may be having, the outlet for that is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. A very noble land where Abu Abdullah is buried, and for that land to accept the sacrifice of Hussein, so much of blood was shed from the prophets, from among their children. So many were laid to rest there, so that land is prepared to accept the body of Hussein. To no dust, to no earth, to no clay do we find so much of emphasis and importance given as it is given to the dust and the clay and the earth of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein's grave. Says, if you do not find shifa in anything, taste a little bit of the dust of the grave of Hussein, and that is shifa. Otherwise, consuming clay, consuming earth, consuming dust is haram. Exception is that dust of the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. So much of grace has been given to Abu Abdullah, and that is again for that sacrifice which he gave on the day of Ashura. From among the men that Allah has created, not every man is equal. A man who is a mu'min is dignified. So for someone to be appreciated, accepted before the presence of Allah, not every human, a human who is a mu'min, who believes in Allah, who believes in the prophethood, who believes in the concept of imamat, who has faith in the day of judgment, that is a mu'min. Says, this mu'min is dignified and will be accepted before Allah. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتِ. Now when it comes to the creation, the human beings again, says not every human, only a mu'min. From among the mu'mineen, you've got ulama. From among the ulama, again, you have anbiya. Not all anbiya, only those who are ulul azm are the best. From among the ulul azm, prophet is the best. And when it comes to the household of the prophet, which the members have been mentioned in that ayah of Mubahila, says it is Fatima, it's Ali, it's Hassan, it's Hussein alayhim salam, who are the Ahlul Bayt. So whenever we get stuck, outlet it's Ahlul Bayt, outlet it's Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We know them and we will call them. We call them even now, no matter what the circumstances are. Which beggar did they ever deprive? No one ever was sent empty-handed from this noble household. A person sees Amirul Mu'mineen in Mecca by the Kaaba, says, Ya Ali, I am in need. I want to wed my daughter. I have no funds. Imam says, how much do you need? Says, I need 4,000 dirhams. Imam says, here in Mecca, I don't have any funds. Come home in Medina. This is my address. You come to the masjid. Ask anyone, they will show you my house. You can come and inshallah, I'll sort you. He says that it took him a month after Hajj to come to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Comes to Medina at that time, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He's just 4 years old. Says, do you know where Ali's house is? Says, yes, that is the house. Who are you? Says, his son. Okay, tell your dad. It's this person who had met you in Mecca and you had promised to give him. Abu Abdullah comes, gives the message. Imam says, yes. Takes some deeds and goes straight to the estate agent there. Says, this is a piece of land that I have. It's worth 12,000 dirhams. Will you buy it? He says, yes. He pays those 12,000 dirhams to Amirul Mu'mineen. Imam comes and gives 4,000 of it to this person who was in need. The rest of that money is in the aba of imam, comes to the mosque, says, whoever is in need, come take. Whoever is in debt, come take. Says, and the last penny of it was given away, imam comes home. Zahra says, where were you? He says, this person who was in need, I went to sell this land. And she says that, did you benefit anything? Says, yes, it was given away to all those who were needy. She says, we didn't have any food last night. We didn't have anything for the breakfast. And I pray that Allah gives you more, so that more khair is given, more good is performed by you, Ali. That is Ahlul Bayt. Their attitude, aadatukum al-ihsan, just give. Just give. No matter what a person does, no matter how he serves. Now when it comes to a majlis for Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, it shouldn't be as such that we do only the big tasks. The tiny tasks, putting the shoes together, sweeping, cleaning, all these are huge. In one of these visions that we have, I'm forgetting the name of that alim, he says that once we went for the ziyarat of Hazrat Zainab alayha salam in Damishq. Says it was a bit messy. It was as if no one has swept it. It was me and this person, no one else in that haram. We didn't find any broom to sweep. I took my abba off and I cleaned the floor and all that dirt was thrown away. No one was a witness. No CCTVs, no one saw. And then a few years pass. Someone has a hajat with Aba Abdullah, with Imam Al-Asr. He loses his wealth. Has a communication with Imam Al-Asr. Imam says, go to that alim, he will sort you out. Says, what do I take? Any note? Says, no, just tell him that, remind him of that incident. That is, he cleaned the floor of the shrine of Hazrat Zainab. That is the proof. And he will accept. He comes, says, this is the proof, and this is the amount I need, and this, these are the instructions. He says, how come you know that? No one ever knew, me and that friend of mine, and we did not reveal or tell that to anyone. So any little service for Ahlul Bayt, it is safe. It is saved. It is preserved. And it is given back to us, especially when we will be in need. Well, they pay back in this dunya. And most of it is going to be when a person is dying, giving away his life from this world. Hadith says, Ma'rifatu Ali Muhammadin bara'atun minan nar. Says that you know Ahlul Bayt, you know Ali Muhammad, that is going to be a salvation from you, a protection for you from the fire. Ma'rifa means you know them, who they are, their ID. وَحُبُّ عَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ جَوَازٌ عَلَى السِّرَاطِ. Says you know them, first of all, it's going to be a protection for you. You love them. That love for Ahlul Bayt, it's going to be a permit for you to pass that sirat. The definition of sirat that we have says it's so sharp, sharper than a sword. It's so thin, thinner than a hair. And a person has to pass that sirat, that bridge. And Quran says that Jahannam, it's muhitatun. It's surrounded around this bridge. So a person falls at Jahannam from all sides. So crossing this bridge, it's tough. With all those amal and burden which we will be having. Here says, you know them, you will find salvation. You love them, that will be an entrance permit for you to pass that sirat. Says that, wal wilayatu li'ali Muhammadin amanun min al-adab. That you accept their wilayat. That is, you accept their custodianship. That is, all what they have said, we will accept, we will submit. All that they said, do, we will do. Don't do, we will not do. Ethics, akhlaq, character, and all these different actions that we have to observe in our day-to-day life, do them. That is going to be amanun min al-'adhab, that is a protection from the chastisement from Allah. Just three simple tips. Says that asbatukum qadaman 'ala as-sirat ashaddukum hubban li ahli bayti. Says if you want to be firm on that sirat, on that bridge in the hereafter, you have to have that maximum love towards Ahlul Bayt. Uwais Qarani, whose example was mentioned, someone who never saw the Prophet, has that immense love. Says when he falls ill, he shivers over there. His tooth falls here, thousands of miles apart, his tooth falls over there. That is that immense love that we have to have towards Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So someone who has lost in Laylatul Qadr, he couldn't benefit in the month of Ramadan. Says Eid, couldn't benefit in Eid. Says Arafat, Arafat also wasn't lucky enough. Says don't worry, you have Ashura. Ashura of Hussein is that outlet in every dead end. No matter how much wrong we may have had performed, outlet is Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. When it comes to Ahlul Bayt, Quran says La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. That is the etiquette we have to observe in touching the huruf, the words of Quran. Allah says you can't touch them, but you have to be in taharat. If a ghusl is wajib, do that and then touch Quran. If wuzu, you can't touch Quran without wuzu, perform a wuzu and then touch Quran. A person in Medina, he wanted to meet our sixth imam. He had ghusl also to perform janabat. Now ghusl is wajib, and also he wanted to meet imam. He says that if I perform this ghusl and then go and meet imam, I won't be able to see him. So let me just go and meet him first, and when I come back, I'll do my ghusl. He goes to the imam, knocks at the door. Imam opens and says that, you want to come to us? Come in taharat. That taharat has to be observed. When it comes to a majlis of Hussein, if you want to benefit the maximum, that taharat has to be there. Zahiri taharat, it's the attire, the clothing that we have. In addition to that, it's a wuzu. And if you want to benefit a lot from this majlis, that ruh, that soul, that heart of ours, it has to be tahir, it has to be pure. Purity of the heart, it's by having faith in Allah. Purity of the heart is by having faith in Rasulullah. Purity of the heart, it's by having faith in Amirul Mu'mineen, by Zahra, by all of them. Purity of the heart, it's by having faith in the hereafter. So with a sincere heart like that, with a zahir observed, and with a wuzu on top of it, definitely a person will benefit from this majlis of Hussein. It is impossible not to. So that la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun, that someone who is not pure, he should not touch Quran. Someone who is not clean, he shouldn't come to Ahlul Bayt. Now, when it comes to all the wrong that we have done, we have hope in them. A person in the streets of Medina was drunk. And there, our sixth imam was passing by. He knew that it is the imam passing by there. What he does, he turns his face towards the wall because he has the cup in his hand, he's drunk, so that the imam doesn't see him because he is ashamed. Imam comes to him and says that, you have committed a sin, but don't turn away from us. That is the grace they have, that is that karamat they have, that is that excellence which they possess, that although we have done wrong, they say don't turn away from us. So the more the attachment with which we have with ma'sumeen, it's going to be easier for us to benefit from them. That is that ma'rifah should be there, that love should be there. And says in this ziyarat jami'at al-kabira, khalaqakumullahu anwara, that Allah has made you lights. That is, أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة, which we recite, that I bear witness that you were pure all the way through. You are pure, you were pure in your mother's womb, and all the way through your grandfather's, so long as you had not entered this world, that channel, it's all pure. It's like Quran, which is all pure. For Quran, purity is required all the way through. Allah has to be pure. Jibreel, who is the medium, has to be pure. That channel from wherein this Quran is to be revealed has to be pure. The destination, which is the heart of Rasulullah, it has to be pure. Ma'sumeen, who are again the conveying the messengers of Quran, they too have to be pure. For us to have that effect, we too have to be pure. We who want to convey the message of Quran, we have to observe that purity. If we want Ahlul Bayt to have effect in us, that purity is required. Taharat plays a very vital role in our livelihood. Or for example, when Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he passes away, after his shahadat, our fourth imam, he says that abata amma ad-dunya fa ba'daka muslima, that father, after you this dunya, it's dark. Says wa amma al-akhirata binurika fa binuri wajhika mushriqa, but the hereafter, by your presence, it's enlightened. That is what we say, that خَلَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْوَارًا, that Allah made them noor. Abu Abdullah, he is noor. Dust of his grave, it's noor. That shifa which is granted by this dust of this grave, it is because of that enlightenment which he sought, and that is by giving away that sacrifice. If you look into these people who were on the other side, who got enlightened by this noor of Abu Abdullah, that too is amazing. One of the very known, renowned example is Hur, who was enlightened. Umar Sa'd, in the days, that is, in these 10 days of Ashura, he calls his men, says that I need 4 or 5 men to communicate between me and Abu Abdullah. That is, the letters, the correspondence which I will be writing to him, he will reply, and they have to bring them back. So I need some men to do this courier service, to deliver and to bring back the messages. So 4 or 5 best of his men, they were selected, and this charge was given to them. Now the last message that was given from Umar Sa'd comes to Abu Abdullah. And now here Abu Abdullah writes the reply and gives it to this courier to go and give it back to Ibn Ziyad, Umar Sa'd. He says, sorry, I will not take it. Says, it's my reply, don't you want to deliver it? Says, no, I don't want to go back from here. I've been enlightened now. Haq is here, Noor is here. Ja'alakum Allahu anwara, I've been enlightened. Now why do I go back to Umar Sa'd? So many we find examples who were enlightened over there by this noor of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. So that is fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa yuzkara fi hasmuh. It's a house wherein the name of Allah is remembered. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ, and that is those pure men who are there. Who is that? That is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Says that whosoever, in this hadith, Imam says, whosoever wants to extend his bay'at to Allah, his allegiance to Allah, extend it to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. That high, lofty position which is defined for him. We have to see in ourselves that how much do we love Ahlul Bayt? How much do we love Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? That is, Abu Abdullah, that is the noor which he possesses. Quran in Surah Yusuf has this beautiful ayah. When the sons of Ya'qub, they were hit with all that faqr, poverty, they come to Yusuf, who was the king at that time, the ruler. They say, Ya ayyuhal aziz, O king, O ruler. Massana wa ahlana dhur. That is, we have been afflicted with this poverty, with these afflictions. Waji'na bi bidha'atin muzjat. And we've come with little provisions. Nothing we have. We don't have anything. Fa'ufilana al-kayl. Now in these sacks of ours that we have come to collect from you with nothing in hand, give us something. وَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَيْنَا. Have some charity for us. Give us something as alms, as charity. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِ الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. Allah will reward all those who give this sadaqah. We have come to this household of wahi. We have come to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein empty hands, with nothing in our possession. We don't have anything. The only thing which we can present, which is very tiny, it's this love that we have to Ahlul Bayt, and these tears that once in a while fell in this love and in the aza of Ahlul Bayt. Ya Abu Abdullah, tasaddaq alayna. Give some charity to us. Our utmost, our foremost desire attending in this majlis was you. You know that we have afflictions. You know we have problems. You know that there are many who are ill, who need shifa. But we haven't come for all that. You know all that. We have gathered here to cry for you. We have gathered here to remember you. Among the personalities that we have is this young lad of Imam al-Mujtaba, Qasim ibn al-Hasan, a 13-year-old child. On the day of Ashura, he comes, says that, I want to give away my life. And he knew that his uncle is not going to accept. He comes, pleads. In the last days of Imam al-Mujtaba, in his last day, he calls his sons, that is Qasim and his younger brother, says that a day will come, that is 10 years from now, Ashura will unfold, my brother is going to be alone. I want you to go and cry and plead and give away your life, help him. That sacrifice has to be given. He will not accept, but you will plead. The same thing unfolds on that day. And here, says that uncle is not accepting. Aunt Zainab, where is my mom? Let me go and complain to her. Comes and says that to the mom. Mother says that, take this note, this package, and give it to your uncle, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. This package is given to Abu Abdullah. It's a letter from Imam al-Mujtaba. Says, Hussein, don't let my son plead so much. Let him go and sacrifice himself for you. Here, Qasim ibn al-Hasan gets the permission, sets off to fight, and there that mal'oon comes, hits him on his head. Qasim falls to the ground. There is an ambush, all these horses surrounding him, and there he says, Amma, my uncle, help me. Imam couldn't come. There is this ambush, and his body is pounded under the hooves of these horses. And when the dust settles and Abu Abdullah comes closer, there sees that Qasim, he is rubbing his feet on the ground. Says Qasim, sorry, you called me, I couldn't come. Worse than that, I've come now, but I could be of no benefit for you. Holds him, hugs him, and this reporter says that Abu Abdullah, he hugged Qasim, took him and laid him beside Ali Akbar. His feet were dragging on the ground. in that hadith that we have says that our fourth Imam Sajjad, he cried for 40 years. For 40 years crying for Abu Abdullah. When food is laid, he cries. When water is given to him, he cries. Now the slave, he says that, Yabna Rasulullah, is it not time that you stop crying yet you don't cry so much? He says, you want me to stop crying? Is that possible? Says Yusuf, one of the 10 sons of Yaqub, went missing. As a result of that excessive crying and pleading, he lost his sight. And his son also was found later on. Says, in front of my eyesight, in less than half a day, I saw all of my members of my family, they were killed. Worse than that, after these afflictions, after that day of horror, I saw from Karbala all the way to Sham, how these women and children were taken into captivity. What unfolded in the prisons of Sham? Then you want me not to cry? Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times يا الله 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 إلهي hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master. Count us among his best servants, our children among the best of Muslims who ever existed. All the wrong that we have done, Ya Allah, forgive us. All those who are ill and ailing, mareed, especially present in this majlis and away from this majlis, and who have hopes in these majalis, grant them shifa. All those who were with us, who are not with us anymore, Allah, elevate their ranks. All those who have passed away, from the first mu'min of Ali ibn Abi Talib to the last one who will come, may Allah have mercy on each one of them. Wa'ajjil fi faraj maulana sahib az-zaman Matam-e Hussain.